Blessing and peace on Troy Brewer here. Welcome to the Experiencing Real Life podcast. I want to just go ahead and just cut to the chase and tell you that I'm going to be taking you to a graduation today. And immediately everybody goes, boring. No, I promise you, this is not going to be boring. Hey, listen, whatever it is I am, I ain't boring. And whatever it is I will allow people to do to me, it is not bore me. Oh my gosh. It's absolutely true. But I want you to know that we have a school of the supernatural here at Open Door Church, and it's called SOAK, and it's an acronym for School of Kingdom Equipping Class. Anyway, we just recently had the graduation, and I was, you know, honored to be the guest speaker. And so I was like, okay, great, I'll get up there. Now, I want you to know that this was the fourth service I had preached this day. It was on a Sunday, and I was tired. I had already preached three services, and now, you know, it's late in the afternoon, it's a Sunday. We have been going full blast, and I want to tell you, I was tempted to just kind of get up and congratulate everybody. And dude, I got up there, and the power of God hit me. And I want you to know, I didn't have any notes. I didn't have any of this. And boom, well, I'm just going to just take you there. You're going to enjoy this. This is going to help you. This really is worth listening to. Here we go. Hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. For everybody that's listening on the radio all over the world, I bless you. I wish that all you guys could see me on our 72 radio stations. I'm all decked out. I'm 6'8". I'm blonde-headed, blue eyes. I'm chiseled. Anyway, guys, I bless you guys. Call y'all blessed, man. Welcome, 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 my friends. Welcome, guys, to the graduation ceremony of this 2020 class. And friends, I want to read to you a parable that King Jesus himself gave. And this is Matthew chapter 22, and you will know this is the parable of the wedding feast. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus says, Jesus answered, and he spoke to them again by a parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and he sent out his servants who called those who were invited to the wedding, but they were not willing to come. And again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see? Look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted cattle, they're killed. And all things are ready. So come to the wedding.' But they made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and even killed them. Now, when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies and he destroyed those murderers. And he burned down their cities. And then he said to the servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite those to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who didn't have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and take him out and cast him into darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth.' And now that Jesus has the attention of everyone there, and then he says these world famous words, 'For many are called, but few are chosen.'" I've heard a lot of different things taught on this sermon, or a lot of different sermons taught on many are called and few are chosen. Throughout the past 30 some odd years, as I've been a Christian and as I've walked with God and as I've served the Lord in ministry, I've been through a lot of, I've just been through a lot of changes in my journey and in my revelation, as we all have. And when it comes to many are called but few are chosen, I really didn't know what that meant for a long, long, long time. And I want to just give you exactly what Jesus is saying. Many are invited, but very few make it. That's what he's saying. Just forget whatever you thought about, well, are you a part of the chosen few? You dang skippy I am, because I will not bail. I will get past your criticism. I will get past the difficulty. I will get past my own flesh. You dang skippy, I'm part of the chosen few. When Jesus gives the parable of the wedding feast, this is what he's saying. He's saying, there was a rich king, a ruler, a guy who could slay entire cities. But he was also somebody who was rich and famous, and he went to people and he invited them there, and they're like, no, we're busy. We have no agenda for the king's business. But then he said, go back to him and tell him, okay, wait, I'm not sure you understand what it is that you're being invited to, because this is a really big deal. And I have prepared so many things. I've gone to great expense to prepare this for you, and I'm inviting you to a very special, honored place. And they went, nah, no thanks. And they even killed the people that the king had sent out there to him. And then he became furious, and he went after their cities, and he burned down their cities. Then he said, go out among the common folk and invite folks in here and say, you're invited, and you have a permission, and you've been given a green light for something very, very, very special with me. And he did have people respond to that, people who had never known an opportunity like that before, but some did not dress for the occasion. Oh, they would respond, but they responded on their terms. And he goes to him and says, hey, what are you doing here still looking like you used to look? How did that happen? It's like, why? Well, I showed up, and that ought to be good enough. But you didn't conform your life to what I invited you into. And then he said, cast him out where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Do you know what it means to cast somebody out where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth? It means hell. It can mean hell, but let me tell you what it actually means. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wailing means griping and complaining, and gnashing of teeth, we call that backbiting, or where you talk bad about people. He said, here's the deal. As soon as I do not accept him on his terms, I cast him out. He is going to gripe and complain and talk bad about the church for the rest of his life. Well, I tried it, but by God, they threw me out. Well, you showed up and you were dressed like you used to dress, and you didn't conform your life to the thing that you were called to do. Some leadership will put up with that, but good leadership will not. And I know what I'm talking about, because I have gone through times of my life where I was in wailing. I was in a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth because the Lord, I had accepted the invitation, but I still looked and sounded and dressed and thought exactly like I did in the last place. And now I'm trying to walk in an upgrade, but I'm still looking and thinking and acting like I did in the last place. And what's real is, if you see anybody that has a successful ministry, I can tell you, if they've been in it for a long, long time, I can tell you what you're looking at. You're looking at somebody who has had to kill his plans over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and readjust their life over and over and over and over and over again, so that whenever the Lord shows up, he says, wow, I invited a lot of people, but you're like the only one that made it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Friends, I have been in full-time ministry for 33 years, and I can tell you, I have been in a continual transition from day one. I'm still in a transition. I'm still learning. I'm still making mistakes. I'm still swinging for the bleachers, and I'm still striking out in front of people. But I can tell you this. I have walked with this long enough that when the Lord invites me into a much higher place, I know when he invites me, it's not going to be an easier place. But it's a better place. And friends, you are here today, and you've made it to the graduation,
which tells me you made it through so many things that were so inconvenient and so hard to get through, and you were still here on days when you didn't even feel like you were saved and you were going to a school of the supernatural. Like, how do you know that? I'm just prophetic. Some of the greatest sermons I've ever preached and some of the greatest ministry differences that I have ever made was when I was on nothing but I will be obedient today autopilot. I will be faithful. I will not bell. When everybody else bells, I will still be there. I can tell you guys, I'm amazed at where we're at ministry-wise. I mean, I'm blown away, and it ain't nothing compared to where we're going to be 5 years from now. Nothing. I mean, it's not. If you knew what I'm planning over the next 5 years, you would seriously think I'm mentally ill. Let's go. Because I revel in the ability to be able to accept the invitation. I love the invite. Listen, one of the things that they can put on my tombstone is I'm in, because I say that 1,000 times a day. I'm in. I've already decided I'm going to say yes to everything until God tells me to say no. And I want to tell you, you guys have fought through some things, because ministry is hard. It's blessed, but it's hard. And you've got to a place where I'm looking at the chosen few. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are invited, but few people make it to the honored position. That's what it means to be chosen. And you're there. So you deserve to be honored, and you deserve it because, number one, you accepted the invitation, and number two, you conformed your life to what you are being invited to. Lots of people will accept the invitation, but they will not conform their life to what they're being invited to. And you got to be willing to do that. If you can do that, you will qualify for what so many other people do not qualify, and you will find yourself in an honored position where you are called the chosen few. The few people that made it all the way to the honored place, although many were invited. I can tell you that I've come across some things that have taught me and shown me Jesus, where I saw Jesus in a way I'd never seen before, where I went, okay, I'm going to change my life. This is a mic drop moment, and I'm going to change my life, and I'm going to live like that for the rest of my life. That's what I'm going to do. That, I saw the kingdom today, and that's what I'm going to do. My brother-in-law, Daryl Knight, who is the missions pastor here at Open Door Church, and he is the blood brother of my bride, Leanna. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. Did y'all know that Pastor Daryl and Leanna are a brother and sister? I don't know if y'all knew that or not. They are. And what's amazing is that they're actually siblings. Like, well, why is that amazing? Because they have over 300 brothers and sisters, because their parents raised over 300 people in a foster care system. You got to see Christmas. Yeah. Leanna's mom is 78 years old, and she's got a house full of teenagers right now. Leanna's mom is an extraordinary human being. And they've had over 300 different kids of every race you can possibly imagine living in their tiny, tiny house that they grew up in on the poor side of town. But there's five actual siblings, and whenever Daryl got called into ministry, he had actually already been saved for a long, long time, but he had a radical encounter with King Jesus. And to make a long story short, God actually spoke to him in an audible voice when he was in New York City. God actually spoke to him, and he was a part of a denomination that did not believe that you could actually hear God speak. Don't you love it when God comes in and wrecks your theology to pieces? Isn't that fun when God comes in and just trashes your theology?
Well, hello, my friends. This is Pastor Troy Brewer, and I know that you and I are living in a really messed up world right now. But I got great news. Jesus is coming back soon. I promise you he is. Now, in the meantime, it's upon you and I to make sure that we are full of supernatural sanity, that we have a right mind, and that we are not unstable as water so that we don't excel. Now, you know all of those scriptures, but do you know that I have a book? I have a book that's called Soul Invasion, and we recently revamped it. We repackaged it. We put it out there. It's all about supernatural thinking and how to think like someone who has complete victory within their thinking. It's all about emotional intelligence. It's all about those kinds of things. And I recently have added 4 new chapters on the subject of supernatural sanity, and I wish the whole world would read it. I'm telling you, it would help. It would help everybody. Just call 877-413-0888 and get your copy today.
To be very honest and not to talk bad about him, because I want you to know that well, you'll see where this is going. But Daryl had been a little bit critical of Leanna and I for traveling the whole world. He didn't try and stop us or anything, but there was this real weird deal in the family of y'all are idiots. I don't know if y'all have ever experienced that. Maybe I'm the only person in the world that has experienced the y'all are idiots syndrome within your family. I have experienced that very much. And I actually had a debate one time with Daryl, and he said, you know, it's irresponsible for you to go all over the world. If you end up getting killed, we're gonna have to raise your kids. Right? Mind you, this is our missions pastor of Open Door Church now, who travels and goes to way worse places than I've ever been. He's way more radical than I am now. But there was a day before that had happened. Well, through a long and amazing series of events, he ended up having his life changed. He went to the Amazon jungle because when he heard God speak in New York City, God spoke to him in an audible voice and told him to go to the Amazon jungle. And he was stupid enough and actually did it. And while he was there, all these crazy things happened, which I would love to tell you all those stories because they're so funny. But he ended up getting lost in the Amazon jungle and would have died, except for he came across an American Indian that was showing the Jesus film to a bunch of Amazon Indians out in the swamp. And his name was Black Buffalo. You can't make his stuff up. Daryl had been eating grub worms because he'd been lost in the Amazon for a long time. Oh, you guys have got to hear that story, man, because it's like one of my favorite stories ever. And Black Buffalo took him under his wing and said, well, I'm not leaving yet. We're going to be showing this. You know, he'd been sleeping on the ground. He'd been eating grub worms, thought he was going to die. And somebody said, somebody in his tribe that he was hanging out with that hadn't, you know, shrunk in his head yet, said, hey, we know of some Americans somewhere out there and we'll take you to them. So they did. And he just was like, dude, this guy, so he spent several days with this amazing man of God who is an American Indian who reaches Indians all over the world, and that's his calling. He goes to tribes all over Central America, all over South America, all over, and he finds Indian people. And he loved Daryl, and he was so good to Daryl, and Daryl was just, it was like hanging out with Jesus. And Daryl was so amazed. He told Daryl, he said, Daryl, he said, since I saved your life and everything, when you get back home, would you please get in a car and drive 16 hours into the Copper Canyon down past the Chihuahuan Desert and go find this Talamahara Indian children? I have an orphanage down there and they're not cashing our checks and there's something wrong and I can't contact them. He said, sure. Well, he got home, and of course, Mindy didn't know if he had died or what had happened. She hadn't had any contact with him, and all this madness happened. And he got home, and as soon as he got home, he packed up his wife and his kids. They have never been out of the country before in their life. They didn't know where they were going. They drove all the way down to Big Bend National Park. They crossed the Red River at Big Bend, and they went another 8 hours on the other side. They found Copper Canyon. They went to this town, and they looked around, and they tried really hard to find this orphanage, and they found it. All these Talamahara Indian children, the cave-dwelling people, they found this. They found Black Buffalo's orphanage, and they found that the guy that ran it was dying of cancer. All the kids were starving to death. The older kids were taking care of the little kids. And Mindy Knight, who had hardly, she'd never done anything dangerous for Jesus before, had never taken a chance or anything. She's like, I'm moving in and I'm not moving out. And they spent, I think they spent 8 weeks there just loving on those kids, with their kids. And Daryl would work there all week long, and then he would come home on Friday. He would grab a whole bunch of his friends and say, you're not saying no. You're getting in a car. You're going with me. You're going to help me save all these kids' lives. Let's go. And he would round up a bunch of his friends, and they would just be like, where are we going? Oh, yeah, man, we're going way across the Chihuahuan Desert. We got to get past the drug cartel. We got to find the mountains. Once we get in the mountains, we got to go. We got to find Copper Canyon. Once we find Copper Canyon, we're going to go to this place. These kids are starving to death. There are no latrines. There are no bathrooms. There are no nothing. They are filthy, and you're going to have lice like you've never had lice in your life. So came back and got me, went down there. We started going down there. The Lord did miraculous things. It's in the context of what I'm telling you, in the context of that story that I want to tell you, there came a day and there came a time when we were down there and we had fallen in love with all these kids and just so beautiful, these kids, man. I tear up when I think about it because they'd all now be, the littlest ones now would be in their late 20s, you know, because I took my little kids down there and my littlest kids then were, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old then. And we all, one day, we finally got the school bus going and we loaded up all 75 of these kids. Loaded them up on a school bus that's only supposed to hold 20 people. And we loaded them all in, packed them in like sardines, drove them into town because there was a German family that had built a chocolate shop, a true European candy confectionery place in Creole, Mexico. So let's take them there. They never had candy in their life, ever. These kids had never had candy and they'd never been in a candy store in their life. And so we get there, get them all off the bus, and they're, you know, they're all excited. And say, okay, here's the deal. Pull out a credit card. Say, kids, you see this? You know what this is? No say. This is a credit card. And do you know what it means? No say, Pastor. It means you can have anything you want out of that frickin' store. Anything. And like, oh, I guess I'm talking about. Let's get it on. Let's go. Open up the door. They all walk in, man, and they walk in like it's heaven. And they're walking around, and they're just kind of putting their hand on the glass and all the cupcakes behind it, and then all the candy, and then there's true Reese's, and there's true this, and they're just like, yeah. Guys, so after about 30 minutes, man, we rounded them all up. We got them all in line. We got ready to pay for their candy, and every single one of those babies, every single one, from the oldest one that was about 17 to the lowest, to the tiniest one that was about 2, they all had one tiny piece of candy. One. And I saw that, and I was looking at all of it, and I went, no, okay, wait, listen. Hear me say this to you. I want you to go back. You can have anything you want out of this. Anything you want. And they're all looking at each other, and the little girls, they got their dress in their mouth, and they're like, like anything, go get something, go back. Like, okay, disperse them, man. The kids just take off everywhere. Germans are freaking out because there's all these Talamahara Indian kids that are running around, man. And the Germans are freaking out, and they're doing all this, and they all come back, and they all came back with a different piece, but they all only had one piece. Like, no. See, the orphan child had never, these were kids that had been starving to death until Daryl and Mindy showed up there. They could not comprehend what we were offering them. They had no grid for it. These were not American kids. These were Talamahara Mexican Indian kids, and they had no grid for more than enough or more than they could ask or exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think. All they could think of is, this is me, and that's about what I'm worth, is one tiny piece of candy that's wrapped up like that. And I told them, nope, I'm going to tell you again. By now I'm crying. And I'm like, I'm telling y'all can have anything you want. And Leanna and Mindy are like, okay, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just load them all up on a bus and let's just buy them a whole bunch of candy and just hand it to them, because they're going to have to be introduced to more than enough, and they've never been introduced to that before. So I'm like, okay. So the kids all start dispersing, and there's this little boy by the name of Luis. Now, Luis was the bad kid, and those are always my favorite kids. And those are always the kids that love me more than anybody else, are the really bad ones. And of course, he wasn't bad. He just wasn't scared. Right? And that's the way I always say it. That kid ain't bad. He just ain't scared. I love it. I kind of live by that code, by the way. And so he's standing there, and he's looking at me. He's got his hands on his hips, and he's looking at me. And everybody else is there, and he's looking at me, and I can see his little squirrel cage turning. And he's just standing there, he's looking at me. He said, hey. I said, what? And he says in Spanish, do you really mean it when you say anything? And I said, little brother, I mean it with all my heart. You can have anything you want in this place. And he's looking at me, and all of a sudden he goes. And he smiled, and he said, come with me. And he held out his hand, and I take this little boy's hand, and he takes me to the back where there's cakes, and there is a giant wedding cake. And he points at it, he looks up at me, he said, that's what I want. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. I was like, one of these kids out of 70 some odd kids trusted me and got it. And I was like, dang. So Leanna and Daryl are herding up all the kids like cats, and they're trying to get 70 some odd kids into a bus that only holds 20 people, and they're doing, and they're cramming them all in, and it's all crazy. And we buy this giant wedding cake, and Luis insists he's going to carry the cake out. And all you can see is two tiny feet. He's like 9 or 10, right?
And he's coming out.
Well, all the kids in the bus saw Luis coming out with this giant wedding cake. And they're all like, oh, Luis, you weren't supposed to get that. Luis, oh no, Luis. And we get over to the bus. We literally get up on the bus, and the kids are just like freaking out. What? And this is what he says in Spanish. The gringo said, we could have anything here. And he reaches in and starts pulling out chunks and giving it to all these kids. And I want to just tell you, it was like it was a dream. It's like, if that was a dream, what would that mean? And I saw it. And it was like, oh, the kingdom of heaven is just like that. The kingdom of heaven is just like that. And here's what I want to close and tell you is this. That little boy is a grown man now. I haven't seen him in probably 20 years, but I've thought about him so much through years. That one sermon that he preached to this brother has caused me to be so brave when I didn't know if I had any more courage to be any braver. And I've thought, Luis would do it. I have. I thought, I can't say no to that. Luis would do that. He's made such a powerful impact on me. And someday I'll be in heaven and I'll spend 1 million years talking to him about, dude, you were the coolest little boy I ever saw. And you made your ministry and your life made such a huge impact on me. Thank you for that sermon that you preached by how you lived your life. Now I say this to you. The Lord is offering you all the kingdom. And he is saying, you know what this is? Yeah, I know what that is. That's the blood of King Jesus. Do you know what that means? It means you can have anything you want in this kingdom. But because we think we're orphans, we go and pick one little bitty tiny thing and we bring it back and say, even though you've bought the whole store, all we can really believe we can really have is this. And he'll say, no, 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 please go back and please rethink it. Until finally you get to looking at him and you say, do you really mean anything? Do you really and truly mean that? And if he says yes, our response to him should be, I want the wedding cake. That's what I want. I want the wedding cake. You're going to be tempted in your ministry and in your walk with God to settle for something way less because it's going to be easier for you to deal with it. Don't do it, man. Listen, I learned my leadership skills from a little Tallahassee Indian kid 20 some odd years ago, which by the way had a fungus on his face and everybody called him Iron Man. It's all one other story. He just had slits for eyes and he had a straight face. He had a straight face from a fungus. And that little boy with a messed up face taught me how to be a leader and taught me what it means when Jesus gave the parable of the wedding feast and says, I ask everybody, but only one out of every 70 some odd kids actually believes me and actually goes all the way through with it. I would encourage you guys to go all the way. Go all the way and don't stop. Go for the wedding cake. Go for the wedding cake. Don't slow down. Don't listen to your haters. Don't listen to your history. Go after the thing that God says belongs to you, that he's offering you, and go, dude, I have the audacity to believe that I can actually trust God. And if he says I can have anything, then I can have anything. Friends, I bless you and I say thank God for you. I encourage you. And I want to tell you that the Lord is on your school bus and he's inviting you into the German chocolate shop of the kingdom. And he's saying, you can have whatever you want. And if you settle for this, you can blame it on everybody else, but that's because you live in wailing and gnashing of teeth. Or you can pull up your big boy pants. You can accept the invitation. You can change your garments and conform your life and get the whole swinging cake. I bless you as graduates. And I say thank you so much for your completion of your course and for being a drop dead, sold out, Jesus freak. Guys, I love you guys. Thank y'all so much.